the fusion was.
Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We've got a great show lined up for you guys today. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. She's calling in live from Los Angeles today. Hello, Linda.
Hello, hello. How's everything on your
you
side of the country?
I told you I did it right one day. I got it right.
I know. You're a model for all of us.
Well, I know you and I have both been looking forward to our guest today. She's been a guest in the past here on before when it was Relationship Marketing 101, so I'm glad to have her back today for our episode of Breakthrough Action.
I am too. You know, I've been following Janice Pettit for many years, and for several different reasons. One of them is because I fell in love with her website, Small Business Big Results, years ago. So, it's a great reminder for all of us that things as simple as the language we use when we're marketing ourselves can gather the people who we actually want in our fold. And so when you and I, Gina, were thinking about who would we like to have come back on this show, I'll let our listeners in on a little inside secret. We both have lists of people who we like tremendously and thought, you know, these would be great people to have come guest on the show. And what we also did was we started taking a look at keywords that people were known for completely separately. And you and I came up with a search that showed one article dominating for years, and it was by Janice. And at that point, I knew, boy, do we have to have Janice come on and talk with us about how she built her business and how she helps entrepreneurs build theirs. So, Janice, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, gals. It's so great to be back.
It's great to have you back. So I would love it if you would tell the history of that article, because when you and I talked about it, I fell out of my seat laughing.
You're talking about the one on the entrepreneurial mindset.
It is.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I wrote that article, I'm going to say, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and so many people have found their way to that article, and it just keeps staying on page one of Google, which is quite amazing. And, you know, over the years, I think people have come to realize that you can have all the tactics and strategies in the world. You can know exactly what you're supposed to do to make your business successful. But if you don't have the right mindset, you know, it's really not going to work for you. And, you know, mindset, it's not something that's sexy or sassy. You know, when you ask people, what's the number one thing you want to do with your business? They say, I need more clients. But ultimately, often, the thing that's holding them back is the way they're thinking and old habits and beliefs that are stopping them. So, you know, more and more, I'm putting more emphasis on that because it's so important.
It's so true and so interesting. Over the past number of weeks, we've had a number of people coming on to talk about mindset and particular approaches they take with the folks that they work with. Do you have any favorite tools, techniques, or approaches that you use when you're working with entrepreneurs?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't know. There's something about the term mindset that never sat well with me, but I use it because I know people have a grasp on what that means. It's more of a heart set, because I think you can know something in your mind. You can know, for example, I'm procrastinating. That's holding me back. Or I'm doing the same actions and expecting different results. That's holding me back. But if you don't get it deep inside your heart, if you don't get it on a really deep emotional level, you're not going to be driven to change. So it's really making that emotional shift. I mean, sometimes, you know, when I've seen somebody kind of let loose and cry, for example, they've really had an aha moment, an insight that's going to give them the motivation to change. So one of the things I always say to people is you've got to have a toolbox filled with practices that will help you shift, because it's all about internal shift. And for everybody, that's slightly different. Because the thing is, as small and solo business owners, our businesses are a total reflection of who we are. And so those tools could be things like meditation, contemplation, reading uplifting books that really make you think about things you've never thought about before. It could be, you know, taking a really quiet walk through nature, something to renew you and open you up. And I think the more you incorporate those type of practices into your week, the more insights you get. And I found with me personally that what it does is it shifts you faster. Rather than being stuck for years, you see what's not working immediately, you recognize it, and you're able to shift it very quickly. And the people that I know are the most successful can do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, it's funny, I was just talking with a mastermind group yesterday, and I about the fact that I'm a great believer in figuring out all the tools we can have in our box so that we stay very awake and aware. And then if we find ourselves stalled, we actually have a choice. We get to choose if we're in the mood to just sit and stew and stuff for a while. And then, because often we are. I mean, I have that myself where there's just certain days where I'm chewing on something, working on something, and I can feel in my body that it's not going smoothly, and I'll look up and say, and I'm in the mood to just stew in this for a couple of hours or a day or so. And then as soon as I've had enough, I reach in my toolbox and I say, okay, this is the tool I'm going to be using because I'm done. I'm ready to move on.
I think that's true. I think sometimes the answer is not ready to present itself. But you're aware of that. You're aware of saying, I'm going to take a day or two to just let this sit, feel bad about it, and then I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas a lot of times people find themselves feeling upset and bad, and they're not even aware of it, you know, or they just have no clue where to start to make a shift. And I always say, and I'm really just so clear on this now more than ever after doing this work for so long, you have to say, I will do whatever it takes. And when you're at that point, you're willing to do the hard work.
And it's very connected to how it feels in our bodies. You know, I so appreciate what you said before about we have this terminology called mindset, and you reframe it as heart set, because when we shift our language, we become differently aware in our body, and our body signals us so often about what's going on.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I can remember being really stuck on an issue recently that was very emotional, and I just was kind of lost on it, and I wasn't making any progress, and I started to have physical manifestations of that. Like, I fell down and banged my knee, and I cut my finger, and I mean, just had all these little physical problems that I never have, you know, pulled a muscle, and I just said, my body is telling me, pay attention to this and do something about it.
Do something about it before you bang the other knee.
Right.
And not only do different tools work differently for different people, but depending upon what you're working on at any given moment in your business, the tools you choose to use and the mindset or heart set really does need to be slightly different. If you're in product creation mode, it's a very different mindset than if you're in a product launch. The product's finished, and now you got to get people on board to help you promote it. Very different sets of tools can help you with those things.
Yeah, and I think it's even deeper than that, you know, Gina. I mean, I think it's about what are the blocks that hold me back as a human being,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, do I procrastinate? Do I use time well? Do I feel, you know, am I suffering from imposter syndrome? I run into that a lot. People saying, you know, I feel like, who's going to ever pay me for this? Am I really worth it?
See that a lot too, Janice.
Yeah.
You and I both probably see that often.
Yeah, or people that have really, really outmoded and blocked beliefs around money, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
People that are afraid of success. You know, I have people come to me and they say, they set up an appointment with me, Janice, I really need help with my business. Here's my dream. Here's my goal. You know, and I say, great, you know, let's talk about it. And here's what I can do for you. Here's how I can help you. And then they kind of back down and they say, well, maybe I should wait on this. And I say, what are you waiting for?
Sometimes it's a fear of success. Sometimes it's a fear of failure. And it can be really challenging for a person to see the difference between the two.
Absolutely.
Very small distinctions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, basically, you know, again, you know, you can, for example, work with a coach and get an amazing strategy that can build you a phenomenally successful business. But if there's a mindset or a heart set issue that's preventing you from taking action steps, it's still not going to help you. So I think the mindset is the foundation of everything.
Couldn't agree more. Linda, I'm going to mute for a minute because the birds are definitely agreeing with us on this one.
They're an amazing pack of birds sitting on Gina's balcony that join in our conversations.
Well, I just chased my cat out of the room, so we wouldn't have a chorus.
Well, it's funny because I sit outside so that I'm away from my dog who barks often, but then I get these birds, and these birds that are doing this today are not the ones that are normally here when we're on the show. All of a sudden, about 2 weeks ago, Linda, I got a family of cardinals that moved into the nest at the end of my deck.
Yeah.
I have a mama cardinal, a daddy cardinal, and four baby boy cardinals.
And oh, I love it.
It's the babies that are making all that noise.
Yeah, screaming for food. I think one of these days what we have to do is start a program called the Multipreneurs Menagerie, and everybody
there you go.
Janice, if it all starts with mindset, when people come to you to work with you, how many of them are aware that mindset's at play in the challenges they're facing trying to build their businesses?
You know, I think most intelligent people that are trying to start a business have heard this term and they're familiar with it. The question is, are they willing and ready to change? Because it is not always easy. You know, it's about self-awareness. And self-awareness, you know, if you really are lacking in self-confidence, to look at yourself and say, I've got to get real honest with myself here. This is a problem with me that I need to change. I need to do something about it. That's very difficult for some people, and yet they don't understand that if you do that and you get through it, the reward on the other end is huge. And I'm in a mastermind group with a couple of colleagues who are also very successful, and although we do discuss tactics and strategies that work, what we really dig into is, where am I being held back by myself? And if I change this, what's going to change? And it's amazing work, because when you do that work and you are freed of some blockage that's always been there, you know, you're literally opening up a flow of energy that's amazing. And sometimes things you've been struggling with for years suddenly resolve.
Yeah, it's an amazing phenomenon. With
mm-hmm.
one insight, it feels like the bubble bursts and it all evaporates, but you can never plan for it to happen. So that's the gem and the value, and why you need to have that toolbox of practices, is because you're never quite certain whether you need the mindset wrench or the mindset tweezers, or just a, you know, an idea that just twists your perspective one notch to the left, and poof, a whole new relationship with old ideas, old habits.
Well, and what happens is you're showing up in a bigger way in your business. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the biggest issue I see is women who are brilliant, talented, experts, and they are just lacking in self-confidence. They have themselves in a small little box. They're very scared to open the door to that box and step out.
So they're caught in the tug of war between the idea of building that successful business,
mm-hmm.
and yet they themselves are going to be the embodiment of it.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing I say to people is, let's get real here. Are you settling for less than what you really want? Are you settling? And a lot of people settle in a big way, you know? So they you say, here's the dream out here. Here's where I am, not near where I want to be. Here are the skills, the keys, the help that you need to get out there. And you see it and you want it, but you're still not willing to grab it because it's so scary to you. And this is where that mindset shift has to happen.
You know, very often when I start my work with entrepreneurs and even with multipreneurs, who are people who have multiple businesses that are somehow related, interrelated with each other, but all different business pursuits, all simultaneously, when I ask them the question of what their dream is, they actually can't articulate it because they had an idea at one point and then they started in action and now they're drowning. And so to come back to mindset and raise the question of what was your dream often creates a really large silence in their world,
mm-hmm.
because half the time they never even made that picture of the dream clear enough for it to be an anchor so that they'd feel the passion you talked about before about, I will do whatever it takes to make that come true.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the dream of what you want your business to be can't be what you think it should be or what you think someone else in your world would want it to be. It's really got to be something that gets you excited. And I think the other piece is, you know, I think of how my business has shifted. I started my business in 2001, how it shifted and changed over the years. And I realized the one thing that's constant is change, because as you change and grow and the marketplace changes, you keep changing your business, and you've always got to have that exciting vision of what you want it to be. When that gets stale or old or doesn't feel comfortable anymore, you need to shift it again.
Yeah, time to refresh that vision.
Mm-hmm.
I refer to it as true north, having that really crystal clear vision of what you want in your life and the role that your business that you're creating plays and the vision for the business itself. Because if you don't have those, then you don't have the anchor points that help you say no to the thousands of ideas that can always crop up. And if you don't have a way to say that doesn't actually fit with getting me to my vision, then everything looks like a good idea. Everything. And the more we get the shiny object syndrome where we start chasing each next idea, then we lose track of the dream, the passion we had for it. We kind of get a little amnesia and then get overwhelmed and feeling more and more lost.
Yeah, I always picture the scales of justice, you know, that kind of legal scale.
Yeah.
Well, and I picture on one side you've got passion and talent and dreams. And then on the other side you have practical skills and strategies. When there's a balance between the two, there's this amazing alchemy that happens and your business can really, really move forward. When you're too heavily, like some people are all about, oh, I can't sell, I can't promote anything, I can't deal with that marketing piece because I'm just passionate about what I do and I know people will come to me because of that. That's not going to work because there's too much weight on the side of passion. On the other side, if you're all about, you know, everything's about just making money and I'm just going to, you know, do this marketing tactic and that marketing tactic, and really it's very dry, it's not authentic, it's not something that's exciting to you, that's not going to work either. So there has to be that balance between the two.
I love that image, and it really points out that we can spend all the time we want in the world using techniques for mindset, but if you haven't created the balance, then you're not actually solving what's going on. It's not actually going to move you forward.
Yeah, like an analogy I can think of, you know, for some years I was a professional actor and singer in New York. That was many years ago. And because I was trained as a classical singer, everything was about technique. That was very, very important, very big. And it took me some years to learn to sing and express emotion through my singing and not worry so much about the technique, because everything I did at that time was so, you know, I was told it was all about technique. So it was really about learning that when I was able to express emotionally, people would connect with it much better. So it's really, it's that same thing in your business. There has to be that balance, you know?
You contributed to the book, Trust Your Heart, Transform Your Ideas. And the example that you were just sharing about this distinction between having technique down perfect versus coming from the heart is so valuable. When I had the blessing a couple of years ago of doing a course with Lynn Rose, who's an amazing stage performer and entertainer, and she was actually doing, I'll say, a sort of speaker's training, and she put us through a whole series of exercises that were all no preparation. So all you could do is come from start with connection to the folks you're speaking to and with, and speak from your heart and watch what happens. And it was through the experience of not being able to rely on a prepared script or a particular perfect way to stand or hold your body or whatever that everyone in the program was literally transformed, and our experience of each other as we each took turns was the best lesson in the world to what you just described about coming from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Having the technique, the technique will be there to support you if you'll just trust it will show up when and how it needs to. But if you start from the heart, from the connection, that's where it's all born.
Yeah, I mean, and you have to learn the skills. You know, the biggest piece that I see missing from most people is the entrepreneurial skill set. And I owned 4 successful businesses, 3 before I started my coaching business, which I think is an absolute prerequisite for a business coach. And boy, did I make mistakes and learn the hard way, because I had to learn the entrepreneurial skill set, you know. And I really, you know, went through the whole struggle that a lot of us go through. And the thing is that, you know, you have to learn how to run a business. You have to learn the financial end. You have to learn to set goals. You have to learn to plan. You have to learn and master marketing so that you can communicate and articulate what you do so people want to respond. You have to learn systems and put them in place. All of that is important, but if you do it without that passion, then it's going to get so dry. And I had one business like that that I really didn't like. I could not wait to sell that business. I couldn't wait to sell it. I did not enjoy it, you know.
And that's part of what makes you a powerful coach, because you've been through all those various stages in a business, and you can look at someone and see when their heart is in it and when it's not, and when it's time to continue, when it's time to start, and when it's time to stop what you're doing and working on.
Yeah, because most of the people, I would say like 99.9% that come through my business, they have the passion. What they lack are the entrepreneurial skills. And that's why I got into this business, to make them understand that it was kind of like going back to college. You've got to learn those skills and systems, because if you don't have them, you're going to struggle. So there has to be that balance between the two.
My mind keeps going back to the metaphor you used with singing. Is that a metaphor you use when you're working with your students and your clients?
I really like that one too, Linda.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I just kind of had an insight right now while we were talking about the similarity.
Mm.
I just had that insight right now.
There's a metaphor I use when I'm doing coaching and training, which is about skiing. I grew up in Switzerland, and the way they taught us to ski in Switzerland was you know, all the students would be in a line skiing downhill, mastering some particular technique. So there was the technique side of it. And the ski instructors would actually ski down the line to the side of us and be looking at our form. And in particular, with their ski pole, they'd tap you on the back of your knees and say, loose knees, loose knees. And when I share that with other people, they look at me like, well, that's really weird. And I say, no, you don't understand. Because they taught me loose knees, I never became an Olympic skier, but I can go down a slope I'm not comfortable on, and I have technique which will let me make it through the moguls and the bumps without falling flat on my face. I know how to bend my knees, spring, be flexible for what may hit. And it's the same in business. If I teach my folks nothing else, it's to be loose kneed, to keep scanning for what's happening, what's changing in the world, what are the new skills they need to learn, what's changing in technology, what might somebody else who could be a collaborator be who they didn't even know a year ago, how to have loose knees, because that's what keeps you flexible for what's changing in your external environment, that's hinting at what you might want to change on your internal environment, whether it's your mindset or your business itself. And so I love it. Gina, what's your favorite metaphor?
Oh, goodness gracious, I have so many of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could pick just one.
Well,
let me think about that one.
Yeah, we'll see what pops up. So Janice, you have people who are coming to you from folks who just have an idea for their business, or people who have been at it for a while and they're trying to figure out, you know, how they can take their knowledge or their services and build sustainable six-figure income and lifestyle businesses. Are they clear when they walk in the door what it is they're asking for?
Well, you know, I don't, to be honest, do a ton of work with startups anymore. Startups being like, I haven't done anything yet. I just have an idea. And I, you know, I send those people to all the free resources I have, which are, you know, hundreds of articles and blog posts, free ebooks. And most recently in the last year, we've developed a series of really high value, high content training webinars that are free. And, of course, we offer people an opportunity at the end of the webinar to work more deeply on the subject if it's a strategy that interests them. And all those webinars are about a specific strategy, because everything is about building a strategy in your business. Most people struggle with that, but you have to have a strategy. And, you know, it's about developing a strategy that's going to create a kind of rinse and repeat system in your business. So I'll send them to those webinars to learn the basics. So, you know, the people mostly that I work with, they already have a business. They have the idea. Most of them have a website, or they've been working with clients for a bit. And where they are is kind of stuck. You know, they're earning a minimum. They're just not financially really seeing success in their business. And they mostly, it's because they don't have a strategy. So giving them a system or a formula that's really going to create a lucrative strategy in their business is extremely important.
Mm. And I love the fact that, as you were saying, you now have a whole series of resources for people to take themselves through, so that what you're working with is the mastery level with your folks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working with people who are serious about their business. You know, some people talk about really wanting a business, but when 4, 5, 6 years in, they're still earning like a low five figures in their business. They're really, really not taking the steps necessary. They're not committing fully.
And Janice, lately I've been noticing that a lot of people seem to pay lip service to the word strategy, but mm-hmm. they really don't understand what it means. Are you finding that too?
I am, because it's a vague term, you know. But what I tell people is I actually show them a map of strategies that I've developed for different clients, where we have very specific products, programs, and services a minimum amount, but they are designed to lead people to take action and to keep clients with them. So when clients finish with one solution, there's another solution they can move into.
Makes
and,
so much difference, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so much easier to do that than to go out and get another client.
Yeah, because I don't know if you find this, but I see people come to me and they go, I have this ebook and I'm really just working so hard every week to sell my ebook. And I say, well, how much is your ebook? Well, it's $27, and I throw in an audio. That's great. That's not a business. You know, that's what I call
it. I see that exact same thing. It drives me bonkers.
Yeah. I say that's a feeder product. That's just to get people on your list so that you can build a relationship with them. That's not a business.
Well, and when they say, oh, I'm so proud of myself, I just made $4,000 selling my $27 ebook, I say, great, you got paid to generate leads. Now, where's the money you're going to make from them?
Mm-hmm. So if you say to people a six-figure business, and I guess that term's been overused, but I say to them, you know, I just use that term because anybody can live comfortably with the six-figure income, even if it's just like right at the $100,000 mark. That's a great income for probably more than, you know, most of the people in America, for example. But if you want to have that six-figure income, you got to figure out how you're going to generate every dollar of that. You've got to know where it's coming from, and is it a realistic plan? And if you don't make that plan, you're just going to be flying by the seat of your pants every month.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly with it. And, I mean, it's not enough to know, okay, to make $100,000 this year, I need X number of sales to happen at this price point. You need to know in more detail than that where it's going to come from.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I tell people they really need a money map for their business. I know one of the big shifts for me, and this is going over onto the practical side, you know, I do map out with my team what we want to do each year, and we plan. But when I hired a bookkeeper and I started getting a monthly profit and loss statement that showed me exactly how much I'd done in sales, and I had already set monthly sales goals, and if I didn't meet those goals, it was quite obvious to me on a monthly basis.
Makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Huge difference. And what's crazy is that, of course, I did that some years ago. You know, I owned a 3-star New York Times rated restaurant. It's a really tough business. We had an accountant. We got monthly statements. I did that in that business because you had to. Yet when I started a coaching business for the first 5 or 6 years, I didn't do it. And, you know, the thing is, the same principles apply to almost every type of business.
Yep. And that's what distinguishes a hobby from a business.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I say to a lot of women, too, you know, even if you have another means of financial support, like a lot of women come to me and they're not working that hard because they know their husband has a great job, he's paying the bills every month. Act as if you were the sole support of your family. How would that motivate you in a different way?
Changes everything.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. It absolutely does. So it's about creating a lifestyle, but also knowing that you're worth the money that people will pay you.
Do you find, Janice, that most of the folks coming to you are in the professional services around coaching and so on, or do you find you have people coming with a whole range and variety of backgrounds and expertise and business ideas?
You know, I deal with basically, knowledge and service-based business owners. I do get a lot of coaches and consultants, corporate trainers, and people in that niche. But I also get people from other areas, people that have e-commerce sites, online businesses. I get people that have they have a business that is service-based, but they have a success system. So maybe they are an interior designer or an event planner or a real estate agent, but they have a success system, and they'd really like to expand their business beyond just local clientele, because that limits
very
them.
Similar to what I see. Mm-hmm. So I describe them as what I call offline service-oriented professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So people who probably started out in some more traditional offline business that's service-oriented,
mm-hmm.
whether that's a chiropractor or an event planner, an accountant or some other type of service, who really want a different lifestyle than what they've been getting, where they're trading hours for dollars. And now they want to use the knowledge that they have to do something in a slightly different way.
Yeah, like an example I give, and if people have been on my webinars, they know I use this example of this client all the time. You know, a few years ago, I worked with a chef and his wife, and actually they were in my local area. They had a catering business, and they knew I had been in the restaurant business, and they called me and they said, "We're just burned out. Working crazy hours, we're not making that much money, we can't go on vacation, it's insane." And I said, "Believe me, I understand, because with restaurants, you get to keep 10% of what you bring in. That's very low profit
mm-hmm.
margin." And they said, we want to start web cooking classes, because the chef was very talented, great personality, very funny. And literally, they sold the catering business. I took what they had. We completely revamped everything that they had started to do, because they had no idea how to make it work online. And we got them up to making almost $20,000 a month in 6 months. The first year they made the switch. They spent 3 years in Hawaii, 3 years in Paris, 3 years, 3 weeks in Paris, 3 weeks in Hawaii. And while they were there on vacation, they were shooting more videos that they turned into products. Now they have 6 websites, they have a very small outsourced team, they live the lifestyle they want to live, and they're making a ton of money. And
that's awesome.
Isn't it? But there's a niche where you would never think that somebody could build a lifestyle business online. You would never think that, and yet they've done it.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
It's just a matter of using the expertise instead of doing the in-person service-oriented thing that so many people are accustomed to doing.
Yeah, and we built that whole business based on webinars and videos, because webinars are one of the best ways to build a subscriber list and to get clients into your products and programs, and at the same time build a relationship with them. We based that whole business on that, and this was really before... This is when webinars and video were just kind of really getting hot, you know.
I love what you just shared with them as an example, because so many people in their professions truly believe that the only way to legitimize their expertise is by being the technician.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's such a dramatic shift when they understand, no, it's being the expert, and if we hold that as the vision, now there's many possible business models that you could live.
Yes, absolutely. People, I mean, there's nothing with starting out working with people one-on-one, but ultimately, you know, if you're putting in all the time working with one person at a time, you have an income ceiling. How many hours are there in a week? You know, so why not use what's available to us today technology-wise to really create a movement, really, really connect with hundreds or thousands of people who can benefit from what you have to offer?
When you're working with people and you're helping them understand how to start leveraging new technology like webinars, let's take webinars for instance. Are there a handful of keys that make working with webinars successful, regardless of, you know, what your profession, what your area of expertise is?
Yeah, I mean, I've come up with a webinar creation formula that works phenomenally because it connects with people emotionally. It gives them answers to some burning questions. It builds a relationship with them. And so it really helps them to learn in a way that is compelling, where they really want to pay attention. to what's going on. In fact, I had a colleague who I've been friends with for some years. She's very successful. And she used my webinar creation formula because I basically gave it to her. We kind of traded trainings is what we did. And she did a webinar. She revamped it, one that she'd been doing for several years. She has an amazing program. And she literally sold more on her first new webinar than she had on any of the previous webinars. She was blown away by it. So, again, that's where you take, you know, what you're passionate about, you apply a strategy that works, and you get a great result.
I love
it. My cousin is a great example of this. My cousin has, well, he had a service-oriented business where he would go into people's houses as well as businesses, and he would clean their fish tanks, big
mm-hmm.
ones, sometimes 30,000 gallons. I mean,
wow.
Big tanks. And very much a very specific system, what you would call a success system for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was in a car accident about 2-3 years ago. And because of the accident, can't really continue doing what he did, taking care of people's fish tanks. He can't carry the volume of water, et cetera. And I have been trying to get him to realize that there is an enormous business and niche that he could go after easily. If he were to do things in more of a virtual way, online, teaching people how to do what he used to do. And from what I'm seeing in researching just a little bit of what that could be, it could easily be 20 to 30 times bigger than his most profitable year ever. And it wouldn't require him to continue doing the physical work that he can't do. And he just cannot wrap his head around that. I'm going to have him listen to today's show. So what advice do you have for someone who just can't wrap their head around getting out of being a technician and using their expertise instead?
Well, a couple of things, Gina. I think the first one is there are two routes he could go, and both simultaneously. One is teaching other people with businesses similar to his how to be successful. That's a success system that's worth thousands of dollars. People will pay $3,000-$5,000. The other piece is having a separate website where he just teaches people that have smaller tanks in their home, and actually my significant other does, you know, how to keep them clean and fresh and how to keep the fish alive, you know, that kind of thing. And so he has the possibility for just kind of almost passive income once he creates these programs. But I think this is also a typical example of a mindset block.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some fear there, fear that it won't be successful, fear that the technology and the learning curve will be overwhelming. And all those fears are false evidence appearing real, fear. You know, and once you get past that and you say, you know what, I know people that can help me. He's got you as a resource. I know people that can help me make this successful. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. You know,
and that hesitance plays out in so many professions. A number of
mm-hmm.
years ago, I worked with a writer of very successful writer of youth books and Hollywood scripts and so on. He also is constantly invited to come to conferences to run live writing coaching groups during the conferences. And his income, as you can imagine, with those pursuits, is completely haphazard. And he looked at me one day and said, isn't there any way to fix this? And I said, sure is. Do you ever work with people by phone? And he said, actually, yes. There's somebody who I, quote, do script consulting with who lives in Paris, France. He's living in Los Angeles. And I said, and have you done work with groups? He says, I work with groups all the time when I'm at these conferences. And I said, so can you imagine working with groups by phone? And he paused. And that was the opening for me to then explain to him what we can do now with technology, whether it's conference lines, whether it's screen sharing of scripts while he's working with people. And it transformed his life because we set up a membership program where he's working with small groups in 2-hour blocks each week, and he's transforming those writers who were stalled because they didn't want to invest big bucks to work private, and now they're working more cost-effectively for themselves, and yet they're getting his astounding expertise, and he's got the pride of knowing he's moving those people and their scripts, books, and so on further along, getting them publisher-ready much, much faster, years ahead of where they would have gotten to, and he's getting a fair, very nice income off of it. And it's like using technology completely transforms business models and our lives and lifestyles.
Absolutely. I mean, when I first started my first business was a corporate training business in New York City back in the late 80s. There was no internet. I mean, marketing was so hard. You know, it was basically cold calling, letters, you know, trying to go to networking meetings. I mean, it was really hard. Now we have these amazing resources at our fingertips. And the other thing I was going to say, I just thought of something else, Gina, for your cousin. You know, he should pick up that book that's been around for years. It's just the Bible of entrepreneurship, The E-Myth, or The E-Myth Revisited.
Oh, yeah,
by Michael
Gerber. A great book. Yeah.
It's a great book because it talks about him taking somebody who was a technician, she owned a pie shop, and turning her around to being really the CEO of her business and how that mindset shift happened. That's a wonderful resource.
That's a great idea. I think I will even gift him a copy of that.
Yeah,
great idea.
Really.
It's a standard for me with my folks because so often they're stuck in technician and trying to intellectually explain it to them doesn't work nearly as well as they're accompanying that story.
Right. Actually reading the story on their own.
Exactly. So you were describing the fact that you have webinars where people sign up and take themselves through the content as well as doing live webinars, and you've got a webinar training program. I'd love to talk about that because I know we have listeners who would like to start really thinking in real practical terms how they might incorporate webinars into their business models.
Well, I just am more excited about webinars than I've been about anything really in a long time. And the reason is, webinars are basically a form of video. Of course, they can be delivered live and they can be recorded and then they can be, the replay of the webinar can be delivered in some way, whether it's, you know, creating a web page where you deliver the replay, or it's using an automated webinar system, which I also use. So, they can be used in a lot of ways. The great thing about webinars is they allow you to connect with people on multiple levels, visually, auditory. They can be interactive. In fact, every webinar should be interactive with your audience. And by building in the interactivity, we keep people engaged on the webinar, paying attention. There are many other things that you can do to make webinars interactive. And basically, it allows you to let people know a little bit about who you are, which, of course, you know, you can do through the radio show as well, like you guys do. It also allows you to visually show people a representation of what you're talking about. A lot of people are visual learners. This is why people love to watch TV. This is why YouTube has millions and millions of views every single month, because people like that visual experience. So a webinar gives them a visual experience. It allows you to build a relationship with people through the interactivity. It allows you to teach them, which means that you're not only giving them great value, but you're actually representing, showing them how you are an expert. So what happens is webinars, we developed a system that allows you to add, you know, several hundred minimum people to your subscriber list every single month, and to create a system where you can sell a few core products and services again and again and again. And in my business, we generate five figures consistently every month through webinars. And what I love about them is once you put the work in to create a webinar, and we have a formula for creating one that will be very successful, then you just leverage that by doing it again and again. So one of you mentioned earlier bright, shiny object syndrome. What do people do? They try to sell a product. They create it. They try to sell it. It doesn't work. And they figure, oh, well, that didn't work. They're upset, disappointed, and they move on to the next thing. Well, maybe that'll work. Maybe that'll work. When the key to success is finding one or two core products and programs that people love and that get results, and then to finding a system that can consistently market that again and again, and webinars are that system. So, you know, when you create a very powerful webinar that gets people to take action, the success can be repeated every single month. So I'm very excited about this system. It took my team and I about a year to put it in place because we started delivering webinars and we found little glitches like, oh, this isn't working. What do we do about this? We did a lot of brainstorming, problem solving. And the key for us is collaboration and joint ventures, which is huge. And we all know that we have a group of colleagues that we collaborate and joint venture with all the time. So we developed the whole joint venture success system, which is part of the webinar success system. And it's a very powerful strategy for running your whole business. So it's very exciting.
It's very exciting. We've created a link that's in the show notes, as well as I'm so happy to tell people as they're listening that if they go to bbdnow.com/WSS, they'll find all the information on the webinar sales success. And I'm planning on going after it myself because I love the way you've described this integration of all these elements. Is this a program that people go through live with you? Is this a recorded program that people take themselves through at a self-pace?
Well, actually, I believe the link that you created, bbdnow.com/WSS for webinar sales success, that's going to take you, anybody who's listening, to a page where you can sign up to actually see a full free training webinar that explains the system. And it's a webinar that runs about 75 minutes, so it's really a full training. You'll be guided to download a handout where you can actually complete the handout while you're watching the webinar so you have the system at your fingertips. And that's a free training. So, you know, people can go and get that free training to kind of be introduced to the system.
I love it because, as we all know, doing it while we're being taught or information is being shared is the best way to really start understanding something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I always believe in giving people some real value that they can take away and start working, even if they don't choose to go deeper and really, really learn the system on a deep level, which, of course, is not going to happen in 75 minutes. But they'll certainly get the system. You know, they'll learn, you know, what are the specific problems people have that prevent them from selling their products and programs? What are the mistakes they might be making that they need to stop making, and how do they stop making those mistakes? And what is the exact formula, step-by-step, that they can start using to use webinars as leverage in their business and really start increasing their product and program sales. So they'll really kind of learn all that for free in that webinar.
Fabulous. Well, I'm encouraging everybody who's listening to go and spend that very valuable 75 minutes. They're going to be joining me doing it.
Yeah, so it's a webinar sales success secret. That's the name of the webinar itself. And, you know, they'll basically learn also a lot of interesting tips on how to use joint ventures in your business to get new people viewing your webinars every single month. So, and that's really the key because, you know, none of us are lone wolves. And I know we've probably all gone through phases like that where we just sat behind our computer and kind of hid there for a while. That eventually you have to get out and start talking to people and working with other people.
It is the joys and the side effects of technology.
Right.
Exactly. Introverts become more introverted, and extroverts have to remember to go out and actually be with people rather than being with people through technology.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, you know, when you create a webinar, I love this part of it too, you can take those same slides and you can use that as a live speaking presentation. So, you
it's
know,
kind
people
of
do
funny
that all the
because
time.
It's kind of funny because two of my dearest friends on this planet who are also students of mine, their names are Chief Robert Talltree and Terry Talltree. They are the founders of howtolivonpurpose.com. And for about 2 years now, I've been telling them over and over and over again that to get to the levels of success they want to get to, it really is important that they actually start doing webinars on a somewhat regular basis, mm-hmm. because that will help them get the momentum they need to reach where they want to get to. Well, just recently, they finally listened for the first time in 2 years. And now almost every day for the last 2 weeks, I get a phone call first thing in the morning with Terry going, oh, my goodness, we got 7 sales today. We got 6 sales yesterday. And she is so excited. And I'm like, please don't let it be another 2 years before you do another webinar. You can't do them every 2 years. You got to do them like every week, maybe, would be a good start.
You know, and let me just tell you just like one little tip. This is just one of the ways I use webinars. You know how we all have these websites and we ask people, you know, here's a valuable gift. And, you know, if you register for the valuable gift, you know, this is really going to help you. And we want that person to sign up for our mailing list. Well, I switched that out. And now I give people access to a free training webinar that's a 90-minute webinar. That's what I give people. And it has increased the number of people that sign up for my list. Plus, I get sales coming in. People watch the webinar. They love it. They want to get into the workshop that I introduce them to at the end. And then we just get sales every single week.
It's
so
awesome,
so many ways.
It?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, once you create it, you can leverage it. You can use it again and again and again.
And it's so much easier to do that using collaboration and JV partners to get the traffic than it is to do any other kind of traffic generation. It makes such a huge difference. But if you use the JV and the webinars to get the traffic started, then start doing other things like SEO or any of the other traffic generation methods, the combination can be explosive in terms of what it causes in results.
Yeah, and I flip it too. I offer high-value trainings from other people to my community. These are subjects that I'm not an expert on, but I know people want to learn about, and I get a tremendous response that way as well. So they're very powerful.
They really are. And Linda, remind everybody of that link. Is it bbdnow.com/WSS?
It is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go watch it myself and see if I can't pick up a gem or two from that.
Exactly. I've got webinars coming up in the next few weeks and my own workshops coming up, and I'm going to go take a true refresher course.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Like I said, we're very happy with the system we developed because we've got proof now that it works like gangbusters, not just for us, but for other people, students that are going through our workshop and, you know, like I said, you know, a few colleagues we've shared it with. So it's you know, it's great. It's great to come up with a system that can benefit other people, and I see them really succeeding with it as well.
The multiplier.
Well, I hope our,
I'm so glad you're
I
doing
hope our
it.
Listeners really appreciate the fact that you're not just somebody who's giving them something that you personally use that works for you, but this is something that you really have used with many businesses, which says it's really duplicatable. And that changes everything. There are so many people out there that have this new system and that new system, and it might work for them, but they don't have what you've got, which is hundreds of success stories, probably even thousands by now, of people applying the exact same system. So I encourage everybody to go to bbdnow.com/WSS.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll look forward to you know, meeting people that, that watch. We have a basically a recorded version of that webinar available instantly, so literally they can see it today if they want to.
Fantastic. Do you have any last words of wisdom for our listeners, Janice?
Well, you know, I loved the especially the early part of our conversation talking about mindset. And I would say, you know, if you're listening to this show week after week and you're saying, oh, my gosh, these are such gems of wisdom, but you're not taking action, you're not shifting, you're not changing anything, it's time to really have a talk with yourself and really talk to yourself about what needs to shift, what do I need to do differently, and where do I need to reach out and get some help. You know, so that you really have the success you're craving.
Great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us again, Janice. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Linda.
My pleasure. I love to bring on fabulous guests and learn at the same time.
And my pleasure as well to be back. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Outstanding. Linda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.